May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The connection between the reading from the Hebrew scriptures, from the book of Joshua, and the gospel today is choice. Discernment is, in fact, the word that we use in the Christian tradition to describe that process of choosing. My favorite image for discernment is imagining our life as a beautiful ornament and holding it up to the light and asking, where is God in this? Where is God in my life? Today's discernment question is, in fact, the most important of all. Who or what is God for you? Who is, what is your God? As the gospel puts it, who are we going about with? In the first reading from Joshua, the Israelites have arrived in the promised land, and Joshua, who has been their leader since Moses died, is now old. And he has said in the previous chapter of the book of Joshua, he says, I am going the way of all the earth. Poignant. He knows that his death is close. And so today we hear part of what is essentially Joshua's farewell address, his charge, really, to the people that he has led so faithfully all these years. Who is your God? Is Joshua's question. This is Joshua's supreme concern. The people keep on saying, we will follow God alone. Indeed, we will, the God of our fathers. And Joshua keeps reminding them that their track record of faithfulness and loyalty is not exactly stellar, and they need to weigh their words carefully. There is a continued back and forth in this chapter, the 24th chapter of Joshua, and the one before, and in succeeding chapters, as the people protest that this time they mean it. This time they have counted the cost of their vows. Yes, we will serve the God of our ancestors. Choose this day whom you will serve. We can hear this charge from Joshua in two ways. We can hear it, choose now whom you will serve forever. And we can also hear another emphasis, choose this day, choose for this day whom you will serve. Who or what will you follow today? Like manna in the wilderness that has a shelf life of one day only, like our life itself, we are given one day, 1 minute, at a time. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us, and we cannot redo yesterday. We can only choose for today who and what we will honor. This is at the heart of all life. It is at the heart of what gives our life meaning. If we have made marriage vows, daily commitment is at the heart of that. Our baptismal promises as Christians, all of the most important commitments of our lives are daily ones. Sometimes big changes, moving on, the dramatic outward commitment is easier than staying put in living out our loyalties. And this is what Joshua is anxious about. The people of Israel are home in the promised land. They are settled. They are staying there. But their hearts may still wander off. And Joshua is, in fact, prophetic and spiritually spot on. Under King Solomon and his many marriages, other gods will indeed intermingle with Israel, with Israel's God, until loyalties are so topsy-turvy that they are deemed to be interchangeable. Solomon's divided loyalties will, in fact, be disastrous for his kingdom. Jesus is also experiencing divided loyalty, attrition, among his disciples. His teaching about being himself the living bread is too much for some of them. We learn many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. Now, these are not seekers. They are described as, identified as disciples, and yet they fall away. They find following Jesus too challenging. They are not ready, at least not yet. Sometimes we can discern an answer that we think is final, that turns out to be not a final answer, but as it were a resting place, like a bench where we sit for a few minutes after a steep climb. We may discern, I am not ready at this time. Not every discernment answer is a yes. No can also be faithful discernment. We may discern a portion of the truth, but jump ahead to a misguided conclusion from fear or from lack of understanding. Sometimes we discern an answer that is half true at best, and it doesn't come from our center, which is where God lives. If we travel too far on a false path, it divides our hearts, and we end up lost and desolate because we are living too far from our center where God lives in us. Knowing this, knowing that we are choosing always, Jesus asks his remaining disciples, "Do you also wish to go away?" Jesus gives them the chance to opt out, because discernment, choice, opting in, is at the core of discipleship. There are no accidental disciples, especially in a secular society like ours, or at least not accidental for long. "Lord, to whom shall we go?" the 12 respond. "You have the words of eternal life, words of truth to hold on to in life and death." Following Jesus is challenging and gets harder the more they come to understand, but the disciples know that it beats following something easier but less true. What is certain is that all of us can only discern day by day in stages. We really can only choose for today. And yet with Jesus, that is enough. That is the essence of discipleship. He identifies discipleship simply as going about with him. So simple and yet so profound, listening, learning, traveling with him in our daily life. Nothing more, nothing less. The two holy mysteries involved in discernment for all of us, those things that we seek the aid of spiritual guides, spiritual directors, with those things we think and pray on and reflect on, these two holy mysteries are God and time. Time as we experience it, chronological time. Spiritual growth takes time and the Holy Spirit. In our goal-oriented, production-oriented culture, that is frustrating as all get out because we cannot control either God or time. We prefer a process with precisely defined outcomes. Usually in our discipleship, however, we don't see the end goal, just the next marker or task. Even highly developed spiritual systems like the Ignatian system of discernment cannot mark out for us the precisely defined end goal. Plus, we are often discerning several things at one time. And sometimes it's not a choice between clearly true and clearly false. It's that one option is more true than another. We often inch our way toward truth, just as we can inch our way in the other direction, towards alternative truth, also known as lies. As you may know, I love hiking. When you are hiking any distance at all, several miles a day, you are dependent on markers. As you head up a hill, you often cannot see the top. And if it's foggy or raining hard, you can only see the next marker, if you're lucky, maybe 20 yards away. And you head for that marker in trust. You know that if you follow the markers, you will arrive at journey's end. If I ignore the route markers and try to find my own way, even with a wonderful ordnance survey map studying the landscape, even then, I may or may not be successful without the aid of route markers. There may be detours due to flooding that are not on the map, or in a national forest, for example, the route may be completely changed because of, say, reforestation. If we're living our lives with no trail markers, if we're asked to cover over, God forbid, those markers in our lives because of a job that we have or some other constraint in our lives, if we're asked to cover over those markers and pretend they're not there for us or don't matter, that is like being completely lost. We could be on any hillside going anywhere. The essential thing in discipleship, Jesus says, is who we are going about with, who is our guide and companion. Jesus is the one who guides us day by day, marker by marker, to our journey's end, with no one lost, no one left behind, no one unaccounted for, and no one forgotten. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.